Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I would say this in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. Of course, in 1 Timothy, Paul is laying out some things and dealing with the church in some essence. He's dealing with the preacher. He comes into chapter number 4. Look with me in verse number 6. I'll let you remain seated. The Bible said this, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." Bible said in verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. That is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, specifically of those that believe." Father, I pray that you'd use this tonight, and I pray, God, that we would get an understanding from your word. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to recall the things that we've studied. God, I pray, Lord, that we would apply them from your word tonight, and we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you primarily some out of verse number 7. We'll make reference to several others, but the Bible said, "But refuse profane and old wise fable, old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." A lot of people say it's out of verse number 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, so there's no need to do it." Well, the Bible didn't say that it didn't profiteth nothing. It does profiteth, and he's dealing with a fleshly sense. I'll just say this to you in passing, the body that you've got is the only one you'll ever get. You're never going to get another body to serve God with. You're never going to get another body to represent Christ with. You're never going to get another body to testify with. It's all you've got, so you better take care of it, because when it's done, it's done. Are you with me right there? Some people says, "Preacher, why do you exercise the way you do?" Number one, to keep from going crazy. And number two, because this is the only body that I'll ever get to serve Jesus with. And by the way, it is the temple of God. It is, boy, it's quiet already. Okay, I'm going to get off of this, but it is the temple of God, and we better take care of it, amen? Now, let's look at this. He talks about exercising ourselves unto godliness, exercising ourselves unto godliness. Of course, whenever we are looking here at 1 Timothy, he is dealing with some church-specific things, but in addition to all of his church-specific instructions to Timothy, Paul also encouraged Timothy in his personal spiritual life. Now, I thought about this. It's hard for us to minister if we are empty ourselves. In other words, the car is probably not going to get you far when it's out of gas. Matter of fact, Brother Austin learned that the other night on his way to church, right at the bottom of the hill. He was driving another vehicle that he wasn't familiar with and didn't know the gas gauge didn't work. And, well, he run out of gas, and it didn't get him far when it's out of gas. You know what? You're not going to mow the yard when there's no gas in the tank. You with me? It's just not going to happen. You're not going to mow the yard. Now, I think the same thing can be said practically of us in our spiritual life. When our spiritual tank is empty, then we're not going to be able to help nobody. I remember my pastor, whenever I started preaching, here's what he said. He said, "Read yourself full, pray yourself hot, and let yourself go." And here's what he said. He said, if the scripture doesn't speak to you, then you're not going to help nobody with it. What was he saying? He was saying this, you've got to fill your tank up before you can help anybody else. And Paul is talking to Timothy about the things of the church, about the qualifications of the preacher. But he says this, in order for you to be a help to anybody else, you've got to exercise godliness yourself. You've got to have yourself in line before you can help anybody else. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 7. I think one of the key points that Paul was making about Timothy's spiritual life is this in verse number 7. Steer clear of all these godly fictions and take time to keep yourself spiritually fit. You know what? There's a lot of things today that has no spiritual value to them at all. None at all. And we allow those things to hinder us spiritually. There's a lot of quote-unquote preachers today that has nothing spiritual about them at all. You can say amen or old me right there, but they have nothing spiritual about them at all. And the reason some people's spirituality is so shallow is because the quote-unquote preachers they listen to have no sound doctrine in their teaching. So what he's saying to Timothy, he's saying, man, steer clear of the fables, steer clear of the junk, and fill yourself and exercise yourself to godliness. Exercise yourself to godliness. Remember that all those fables were just distractions that Satan was trying to use against Timothy and the church through false teachers who were trying to infiltrate the church. They was trying to infiltrate the church. Don't get distracted from the main priority of your Christian life. And let me tell you what that is, godliness. That is the main priority of our Christian life, is to live a life that is pleasing to God. I remember years ago, there was a preacher, which he's still around as far as I know, but he preached for Dad several times years ago, and his name was Brother Donnie Farmer. He was actually the second. His son is a preacher also. He's the third, but Brother Donnie Farmer, Brother Matt, you may remember hearing him years ago at Turner's Creek. And he preached on a lot of types and used a lot of illustrations. And one time, he preached on the moon as a type of the church. It's a very interesting message, and I used to think, man, I don't understand how he comes up with all that stuff. And then I bought Types and Metaphors by Benjamin Keach, and I found where he got all of it from. But anyway, watch this. Did you know the moon does not shine at all? The moon only reflects the light of the sun. Whenever the moon is giving light, it's not coming from it. It is actually reflecting the sun. And you and I in our life, that's what we're to do tonight. We're to reflect the sun. The world should see Christ in us. The world should see God in us. The world should see a difference in us. We should exercise ourselves to godliness tonight. To godliness tonight. Let me show you two or three things tonight. And really picking up kind of where I was at on Sunday morning with going to the next level, going to the next step in our spiritual life. Number one, godliness, watch this, takes time. Godliness takes time. I think a lot of times we think, man, we've witnessed to this individual. They're living a completely separate life than what we live, and God saves them. And we think the next time they walk in church, they're going to be just like us. They're probably not going to be. Let me tell you the reason why. It takes time to become godly. What did he say? He said, exercise yourself to godliness. Exercise yourself to godliness. I want to say something to you tonight. Maturing as a Christian does not happen overnight. The standards that one holds, that a man that's never been raised in church, he's never been around church. I had an individual today tell me, I don't know about church. I don't know about the stories of the Bible. Grew up in Surrey County, by the way. I don't know about the stories of the Bible. I don't go to church. I've been a few times in my life. I want to say something to you tonight. When that individual realizes they get lost, they're lost, and they accept the Lord into their heart, because I'm thanking God for doing that. I believe God's going to do that. Amen. I want to say something. That individual's not going to be at the level of spiritual maturity that you are, that's been saved for a great deal of time. You have to exercise yourself to that. I thought about this. Training for any worthwhile task takes time. Athletes, musicians, firefighters, the military, the law enforcement, it takes time. A marathon runner just don't step out on the scene and run 26.2 miles the first day they start. You say, well, I could. Well, God bless you. You know what they have to do? They have to exercise themselves to build up to that. I thought about, now you may disagree with me on this, and you got a right to be wrong if you want to. I'm not going to argue the fact with you after service. Greatest basketball player of my time was Michael Jordan. And I'm just, it had a lot to do with the school that he went to. And get an amen right there for the Tar Heels. But anyway, the greatest basketball player of my generation was Michael Jordan, hands down. You know what it said about Michael Jordan? He practiced 5 to 6 hours a day playing basketball. A day. Not counting when he would go to practice with his team. That was him individually, 5 to 6 hours a day. You mean to tell you the reason he was good? He practiced. He exercised. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If we're going to become godly, we have to exercise ourselves to godliness. You say, well, what does that look like? You see this? We read it. We read it. And then whenever we read it, we apply it. Can I say that again? Whenever we read it, we apply. You know what we do so many times today in our society? We read it, and then after we read it, we spend 2 hours trying to figure out how that don't apply to my life. How, well, was that under law, or is that under grace, or should I even worry about that? Man, just read it and apply it. How do we exercise ourselves to godliness? We read the Bible. How do we exercise ourselves to godliness? We pray and ask God to help us. We pray and say, God, would you help me be a better Christian today? You say, preacher, I'm struggling with my Christian walk. Well, you have not, because you ask not. If you want to be a better Christian, you know what you need to do? God, would you help me to be a better Christian? If you want to know the Word of God more, you know what he said? He said this. If any man lack wisdom, read the book of James. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it to all men freely. You know what he's saying? He's saying, hey, if you want to know more about the Bible, pray and ask God to help you understand the Word of God. That is exercising ourselves to godliness. Exercising ourselves. You know the way we exercise ourselves to godliness? Watch this. We come to church. You know, I find something so interesting. People could go everywhere else through the week. But when it comes Sunday, or when it comes Wednesday, well, they're just about to die, but come Thursday morning, they've had a miracle. Sunday, man, it's just awful, but Monday morning, man, it's like Benny Hinn come by their house and smacked them on the back of the head. Are you with me? If we're going to become better Christians, you know what we need to do? We need to go to the coach and listen to him. Can I just say it that way? We need to listen to the preaching and apply the preaching to our life. Number one, godliness takes time. It takes time. You ever get frustrated with some people? I do every once in a while. My daddy will say this, well, son, you just remember they ain't been saved as long as you have. You just remember they didn't grow up in a Christian home like you did. You just remember they've never been taught that they're supposed to pray. You say, well, that's just common. That's not common knowledge. I led a 16-year-old boy to the Lord one day, and I asked him to quote John 3:16, and he said, what is that? 16 years old. In America. And he said, what is that? Just because we have been brought up in church, just because we have been taught right, don't mean that everybody else does. And we must understand, number one, that godliness takes time on our part to become that. But number two, that when we're helping others, it just don't come overnight. You say, well, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You're right. And I think there is some practical things that you'll see right off the bat. But it takes time to become the godly Christian that God wants us to be. I mean, Peter had walked hand in hand with him. Peter was in the inner circle. He was in a small group session with Christ. Are you with me? And you know what happened to him at the crucifixion? He cursed and denied God. So, I'm not saying to go out and curse because Peter did. I'm saying godliness takes time. And when we fail, I sure am thankful that we can run back to him and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number one, godliness takes time. Number two, watch this. I've got to move quickly. Godliness takes tenacity. Godliness takes tenacity. Look what he said in verse number 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Watch this. It takes tenacity. He said, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach. We labor and suffer reproach. And I want to say something to you tonight. And I've said this before, but just bear with me tonight. Not everybody's going to be excited because you're serving Jesus. And not everything's going to go right because you're serving Jesus. Just because you live for him the way that you do, it don't mean everything is going to go right. I reluctantly say this, but I think I can say it, and she probably don't even remember saying it to me. But I'll use it as illustration. If she gets mad, she'll talk to me after church. We'll make it right and go on down the road. But Miss Tanya, not long after Brother Jim had passed away, matter of fact, it was the same day we was talking, and she said, preacher, I'm just trying to live right. So I'm just trying to serve the Lord. Just trying to do what's right. And you know what? Sometimes when we're in the midst of doing all we can do for him, it seems like that's when the greatest storms hit us in our life. I think we can look at that two different ways. I think we can look at it in this way, and I'll mention it and move on. Maybe God knows you're at a place where you will trust him, and that's the reason he waited to allow that storm in your life when it come. He knew maybe that when you was immature in your Christian walk and it just started in your Christian walk, if that major storm would have come in your life, that you wouldn't have made it. You'd have been a casualty. Maybe God has saw maturity in you and God knows he can trust you in that. Are you with me? It takes tenacity. Ever heard someone say this? Just let go and let God. You know, I understand what they're saying sometimes, but there is a false assumption that can come out of that. We don't just roll over on our back and play dead, man. Are you with me? This is a battlefield that we are in. This is spiritual warfare that we are in, and you that signed up, and I want to say this, man, I appreciate everybody that signed up. We've got 16. No, we've got 18. Counting me and Miss Leslie that's going to the leadership, the Magnify Conference at Calvary in just a few weeks. But I want to say this to you tonight. This is a battle that we're in. Are you hearing me? Not everybody's excited about us serving God. You look at statistics today, and you that's there that day, I'll give you a lot of those statistics that I've studied. Man, there is preacher after preacher after preacher coming off the field. There is more missionaries coming off the field than there is going to the field. Let me tell you the reason why, because we're in a battle. And you're going to have to learn that you're going to have some tenacity if you're going to stay with it. The word means this, adhesiveness. That quality of bodies which makes them stick and adhere to others. It's stickiness. That quality of bodies which keeps from the parting or coming apart without considerable force. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. You're going to have some stickability that you're going to stay with it. Godliness comes with time, but godliness comes with tenacity. Anybody can quit. Anybody can throw in the towel. Anybody can say, my feelings got hurt, I'm never going back. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to live a godly life, I just say it this way. You're going to have to get a backbone like a saw log and decide by the grace of God, you're not going to make me quit. Are you hearing me tonight? You say, well, preacher, I've been talking about you. Well, God bless you. Preacher, we'll vote you out. Somebody will vote me in. Amazing Grace is not the only church in the world to pastor. You say, that's rude. I'm just being honest. If that's your attitude, we'll just vote you out. Well, you may, but I promise you, God's put a call in my heart. You didn't put that call in my heart. God put that call in my heart. And it's like a burning fire shut up in my bone. You may vote me out, but I promise you, there's somebody else that wants to hear the gospel. And with the help of God and by the grace of God, I will finish the race that God put me in. You're going to have to get some stickability. You're going to have to get some tenacity. I thought about this, tenacity. Does it mean we're going to live a perfect life and get it right every time? That doesn't mean we are never going to struggle or never going to sin or never going to fall down. But it does mean that when we do struggle, give in to temptation and sin, when we do fall down and when we are going through hard times, that with the help of God and by the grace of God, we're going to get back up, confess our sins to God, turn away from them, and get back into the race. We're going to keep going and going and going and going. We're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. We're going to get better and better and better. We're going to keep growing in humility. And we're going to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit more readily. We're not going to settle in and just say, oh, well, I give up. No, by the grace of God, we're going to practice tenacity. And we're going to say, even though I may have failed, I'll get up and start again. Even though I may have messed up, I've got a God that will forgive me. And I will finish the race that God put me in. If you can quit, quit. Do you hear what I just said? If you can quit, quit. But I can't. I can't quit. I'll never forget. I'll give you one more thing and we'll go home. I'll never forget not long after I started preaching. And I went through a bad time in my life and Mom and Dad had sat down and talked to me about some things, and I just, Brother Robert, the devil got on my back, and I said, I'm done. And I went into my room, and I got my Bibles, and I took them down, and I laid them on my dad's desk. And we was at home, I still living at home, and I laid them on my dad's desk, and I said, I'll go to church because you make me go to church if I live in your house. I said, but I'll never preach again. I'll never open the Bible again. I'm done. I'm done. And I got in the car, and I drove out the driveway, and we lived way back off the road at the time, on Faith Lane, of all places. I started out that driveway, and I got about halfway out that long driveway, and Brother Tim, there was something inside of me. Something smacked me in the back of the head. And I turned around, I drove back up to that house, I pulled back up in the driveway, and I walked back in and grabbed them Bibles with tears in my eyes, and I said, Daddy, I'm sorry. Pastor, I'm sorry. I can't quit. God called me into this thing. I can't throw in the towel. And Dad said, all right then. That's about the extent of the conversation. You say he didn't talk you out of quitting. Can I just tell you something? If I have to talk you out of quitting, you're not in it for the right reason. Can I just put it this way? You can't talk me into quitting. You can't talk me into quitting. Let me tell you the reason why. The call that God has put on my life. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget the night I surrendered to preach. My dad stood in front of about 750 people that night at church. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, for you to become the president of the United States of America, you would take a step down from the call that God's put on your life. He said, that's how high the calling of God is on a man of God's life. He said, God's called everybody to salvation, but there is just an elect few that he puts his hand on to carry the gospel and to preach the word of God. He said, son, God's done that with you, and he's placed that on your life. Hear me and hear me well. Godliness takes tenacity. You have to determine by the grace of God you're not going to quit. You're not going to quit. Number one, godliness takes time. Number two, godliness takes tenacity. Again, anybody can quit. Anybody can quit. Anybody can throw in the towel. Number three, godliness, watch this, takes trust. It takes trust. It takes trust. You remember when you had your kids and they would stand up and stand on something and you would tell them to come to you, Brother Brian, and they would fall towards you and you would catch them. And you know what that kid was doing? They was completely trusting you. With their life, they was trusting you. Can I say something to you tonight? We've got to trust him. We've got to trust him. I know it's been said 197 billion times. When you can't track him, trust him. But it's the truth. I can trust Jesus. I can depend on him. When I don't understand, when I'm living right, when I'm doing right, I talked today in that Bible study, and we was talking, and Miss Courtney, do you care to play something softly? And I was talking in it, and I said, you know what? I said, we talked about Brother Vance and what he had been through, and he had said in that, you know, I don't understand it, and I may never understand it here. Now, I said, I go back a little over a year ago for 5 weeks when I was out of the pulpit. When I would walk in 30 minutes after service started, right when Daddy would start preaching, and I would sit down right back there with Brother Scotty, or I'd sit down right back there where Brother Jonathan's at. And honestly, to tell you any of the messages that they preached during that time, I don't remember much of anything during that time. But I do remember this. I think in my mind, why? Why? I'm preaching. I'm serving you. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? I'm serving you. You just let us build. We're at a high moment in the church, the highest place that we had been since I've been here. Why, Lord? And I never could understand it. I'd come up here and I'd lay behind this pulpit and pray, cry and pray. And you know what? I stand here today looking back on it, and I still can't tell you why. But I can tell you this, I trusted him through it. And we know that all things, we know that all things, you know what that means? Everything. And we know that all things work together for the good of them. And I'm not quoting it verbatim, but for the good of them that love God. God's got a purpose in it, and we may not ever see it down here. We may not ever figure it out down here, but the truth of the matter is this, his ways are not my ways, his thoughts are not my thoughts, but he's still God. He's still holy. He's still pure. And I can say this, I come out of that closer to God than I've ever been in my life. Godliness takes time. Godliness takes tenacity. But godliness takes trust. And in the midnight hour, we've got to learn just to trust Him. He's got it all under control. He's got it, everything is going to be all right. I remember, I'll give you this illustration in closing. I remember several years ago, myself and Brother Brian Cardwell and a guy named Corey and Brother Greg Cass Stevens went offshore bluefin tuna fishing. And we was about 50 or 55 miles out. It's funny because Greg the whole way up there talked about how he never got sick, and he puked his guts out the whole time we was fishing that time. He didn't even fish. He took so much Dramamine and Phenadrin that he ended up passing out, I believe. But I remember when we got out there, just out of nowhere, man, the wind picked up. We had 8 to 12 foot seas with 3 to 5 second intervals, 55 miles offshore. And we kept fishing. They was puking. Me and Corey was fishing. Captain was puking. The first mate went up and drove the boat. Me and Corey was baiting our own hooks and doing our own thing, having a big old time. Brother Greg and Brother Brian walk out, puke in the back of the boat and walk back in. The waves was coming over so bad. Brother Brian, he'd just wash it out the back. It's a good time, man. Memories. I got some pictures of it. It's funny, too. But I remember during that time, we finally started to come in that storm. Whenever we started to come in, remember the boat got just a lot slower. And I thought, well, maybe they'd mark some fish, you know, hey, let's go fishing. Make a long ride in short, the port side motor went out. So we just had that one motor, Brother Mike, that was pushing us going in. They ended up telling us, matter of fact, the propeller come off. There was something that hit the bottom of the boat, and we thought we hit something, and it was the propeller off the boat, the port side motor. So we just limped back in. But that whole time, this is a God's honest truth, I never worried about a thing. Let me tell you the reason why. I trusted the captain. And even though the captain was sick puking, he was still telling the first mate that was in the bird's nest driving the boat where to go. And you said, preacher, why do you say that? Here's the reason I say that. Sometimes in life we get in storms and we don't understand everything. But I promise you, the captain's not sick. And the first mate's not sick. I can promise you, he's got control of the boat. He told the disciples, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. He said, I'll meet you over there. You just go the other side. And they was doing it. Man, I don't know why I'm going on, but I'm just going to say this and now I'll try to stop. They was doing exactly what the Lord told them to do. He said, get in the boat and go to the other side. They was doing exactly what God told them to do. And they got in the worst storm of their life. They thought they was going to die. He come walking to them on the water. They had spent time with him, but they were so distraught because of the situation. They didn't even know who he was. Think about that. And then Peter said, if it be you, let me get out of the boat and come to you. Well, why was he questioning if it was even him? And number two, why was he wanting to get out of where God had put him? He'd have never sunk if he hadn't got out of the boat. He'd already been promised he was going to the other side. Y'all, some of y'all looking at me like a calf looking at the new gate. I'm still in the Bible like that. He would have never sunk if he'd have never got out of the boat. God put him in the boat and said, go to the other side. Just because you get out of the boat sometimes don't mean you're following the will of God. I know he said, come on, if that's what you want to do, but just stay with me. What happened? They made it to the other side. Can I just tell you this? Whether he'd ever come to them on the water or not, they was going to make it to the other side. Here's the reason why. God had told him to go the other side. He'd meet them over there. Hear me and hear me well. We are going to make it to the other side. We've got a promise from this book right here. Hey, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't throw in the towel. God knows where you're at. In godliness, we can trust him. We can have tenacity in him. And in our time, we can become more like him if we'll just trust him. Father.